This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
In the next 19 seconds, you could sell your home. Okay, it's not going to sell your home, you're going to take a big step toward getting it sold. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com and find an agent selected by my team, a professional who shares your values and speaks the truth. Sell your home fast and for the most money. Get moving at realestateagentsitrust.com.
The Buck Sexton Show.
Dispensing the truth. This is Buck Sexton
on the Blaze Radio Network.
What's up, team? We're joined now by Heather Wilhelm. Heather, thank you so much for calling in.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So tell us about some of your latest pieces, where we can find them, and what you've been up to.
Well, you know, my latest piece was this week at Real Clear Politics, and it was entitled, Sorry, Trump GOP, The Choice is Not Chicken or Fish. And that's a reference to Chris Christie's infamous talk this week with MSNBC, in which she insisted this is a binary choice. We got to choose Trump or Clinton. There's no other way. And if you're not behind Trump, you are supporting Hillary Clinton. And I begged to differ with that.
All right. A lot of people in this audience are going to want to hear about that begging to differ. So please give us a little. Is there like a nice, you know, cheesy risotto option on the menu? What's the third choice?
You know, in the movie Airplane, I think the third choice was lasagna. And, you know, look, I pointed out, first of all, there is actually a third choice. Libertarian former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson is polling at about 13%. If he makes it 15%, he'll be on the debate stage. So there's an actual viable option to vote. And also, as I pointed out, if in a lot of states, you know, look, I live in Texas. If you sit out, it isn't going to make a lick of difference. And it could also be seen as sending a message to a political party. In this case, I'm referring to the GOP that's kind of gone off the rails. So I think those are actually two very, very viable options, particularly if you're feeling uncomfortable with the current Trump versus Hillary selection.
Now, what about the argument then that I'm sure, because I think you're speaking to right now a 70% pro-Cruz audience, more or less. I think that's a probably pretty fair estimate of where the sentiment is of the team, as I call them. And then 30% are either libertarian or pro-Trump or any number of other things. So let's say we all can agree that it's that chicken or fish in a red state, for example, like Texas, doesn't really make much difference. Although on a very large scale, I guess it could. But, you know, for the most part, it doesn't make much difference. What about in battleground states, though? What about for people who live in Ohio, Pennsylvania and Florida? If they really don't want to see a Hillary Clinton presidency, they still going to vote Gary Johnson?
Well, you know, that's what I would do if I was in that situation. You know, the argument for voting Trump for reluctant Trump voters, there seems to be twofold, right? One is, look, Hillary Clinton is terrible, which I think, you know, we can all agree on that.
Indeed.
And then number two seems to be Supreme Court justices, right? So I'll start with the second. You know, look, we're looking at a guy, Donald Trump, who, I mean, just today has demonstrated that he's pretty unhinged. He's pretty unstable. You know, he's going off about the National Enquirer. He's going off about, you know, Ted Cruz's father again. He also has shown zero consistency, zero principles. He lies all the time. I just have a really hard time trusting him that he will indeed appoint those Supreme Court justices. It doesn't seem like a very safe bet. You know, as Chris Christie himself said during this MSNBC interview, they asked him, they're like, well, you know, Governor Christie, what happens if Trump betrays the Republicans? Which I think everyone deep down suspects he will. And Chris Christie says, well, there's at least a chance he won't. And his reasoning behind that was very interesting. He said, look, this guy is motivated by winning, first and foremost. He is motivated by not being a loser. And when you think about that applied to politics, what a disaster, right? I mean, someone who's obsessed with winning and with power is going to sell their supporters out the minute they get that power. So I think this whole Supreme Court thing is highly questionable. And I think if you watched the convention speech last night, I mean, I'm almost starting to question whether Hillary is worse. You know, this is a guy who could decimate the Republican Party. Maybe he already has. And, you know, who knows? Maybe 4 years of Hillary would actually, I mean, again, we've heard this all before, but maybe the GOP could actually get their act together and we could have a true conservative candidate in 2020. So I think those are things that, and look, I understand why somebody would pull the trigger for Trump because Hillary is awful. But I think that people might want to take the next few months and think about, you know what, is this guy, and watch him closely, is this guy really going to deliver what he's telling us he's going to deliver?
Heather Wilhelm, who's talking to us right now, is a weekly columnist for Real Clear Politics and a senior contributor at The Federalist. You have a piece coming out in National Review, the magazine, shortly here, Crabapple Hillary. Can you talk to us about it a little bit, or is this like a Game of Thrones spoiler and that's no good?
I would be happy to talk about it.
There we go.
Yes. So this is, you know, Hillary Clinton has, for all this, right, throughout this campaign, we've watched Donald Trump. And, you know, there's this whole conspiracy theory, right, that Donald Trump is actually secretly out there to elect Hillary Clinton. And watching him go through his various gaffes, he'll have an enormous, enormous brouhaha that will take attention off of, say, Hillary's emails, the fact that she's sabotaging national security. Any bad story that comes out about Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump is there to swoop in and rescue her with some sort of snafu. So what I write about in my piece is kind of incredible that this woman still can't seem to have any fun whatsoever in running this campaign. It's one of the most joyless campaigns I have ever seen, you know, and she admits that she's not a natural politician. But when you watch her, you can just almost see like, it's like someone's turning a very slow crank, you know, getting her to go, getting her to smile, getting her to cackle. I think she's running for president because she doesn't know what else to do with herself. You know, again, she's just this, she's also hungry for power, obviously, but man, it's amazing that she hasn't managed to have any fun considering all the layups that Donald Trump is just tossing to her.
Yeah, it does seem joyless, entirely joyless on her part as well. And the fact, has she done, she still hasn't done a press conference yet, right? I mean, this is, I only think this is possible to be something that's happening because of all the Trump-tastic and Trump-terrifying stuff that's going on, depending on who you are. But she hasn't, she doesn't take questions from reporters.
No, no. And by the way, and she totally gets away with it because Donald Trump is running the Donald Trump show 24/7. Constantly changing the topic from important things to, you know, this is, I called this once the Us Weekly election. And it really is, you know, we're talking about these little things, who insulted Tidy Cruz, National Enquirer, you know, who's getting fired in the Trump camp, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, by the way, there's major geopolitical events going on. And Hillary Clinton has managed to get away with so much, including, as you point out, completely hiding from the press. But, you know, I think she's just sort of sitting there in her office, rubbing her hands and maybe joylessly laughing, watching this whole, you know, Trump shenanigan parade go by. So it's something that's been really enabled by Trump's ability to play the press and, you know, the press falling into that trap, obviously.
Now, we didn't even get to the dessert course yesterday with the team. We were talking about the Cruz situation at the RNC. So I don't want to go back there again because I don't want to give anyone indigestion and people pull their chairs out from the table and get very upset and go off to their rooms. So we're not going to get into that again. But I do want to ask you about a related issue, and that is the down ballot issue. There are two arguments right now. One is that Trump, that the top of the ticket, irrespective of who it is, if you don't support the top of the ticket going into the election, the rest of the ticket gets hurt. There's another argument that, well, if you support a top of the ticket that is terrible and that sort of contradicts the rest of the ticket below it, that's, you know, that's going to hurt it. Which one do you find more compelling, an argument for people who just want at least the House and the Senate to stay red?
Right. You know, well, look, very quickly, I thought Ted's speech was heroic. You know, I was quite mad at him before that speech for various reasons, including buttering up Donald Trump during the primaries. But that aside, you know, a lot of people are quitting the Republican Party in dramatic fashion, right? Or at least several high profile Republicans have done so. And, you know, I got to say, the thought has crossed my mind, but I'm sticking in it because I'm voting down ballot. Now, that's hugely important. So I think, you know, it's going to be hard for people to separate themselves from this national debacle. But honestly, my advice to people running down ticket would be to back away from this dumpster fire as fast as you can. You know, I do think that people are, because that is, I do think that people locally will turn out the vote down ballot because there's a sense of helplessness. What else can you do, right? Especially if you can't stomach pulling the trigger either way, you know, for the presidency.
What do you think about Ivanka's speech last night, by the way? She said okay, I'm just going to stop and let you talk.
This is my pet peeve of this campaign. It drives me crazy. And it's really weird. And again, this is sort of this tabloid culture thing where, you know, everybody goes out there and says, well, you know, say what you will about Donald Trump, but he has to be a good guy because his kids are so great. And I sort of watch it with my jaw on the floor because we don't know anything about Donald Trump's children except that they're attractive and they perhaps have good manners and dress well and can maybe read off a teleprompter. You know, and Ivanka gets up there and she's a beautiful girl. And I think that that mesmerizes a lot of people. But, you know, it's been pointed out today that she was spouting a lot of talking points that could have been straight from Hillary Rodham Clinton's campaign. And by the way, her talking points were completely irrelevant. These were things that her father, as she likes to say, had not said his whole campaign, which is A, bizarre, but B, you know, I've also seen pointed out, you know, there's this desire to separate Ivanka from the mess that is the Donald Trump campaign and the ugliness that has gone along with the Donald Trump campaign. She is one of his closest advisors. She's been with him the entire time. She is supporting him. She is supporting the horrifying things that he has said. The kid glove treatment of Ivanka in particular drives me crazy because it's not paying attention to the pretty pivotal role that she is playing in this disastrous campaign.
Tell me what you really think, Heather. don't hold back, Heather. Don't be, you know.
This is my pet peeve, really. And I'm convinced we're going to see it through the rest of the campaign, right? Because, I mean, look, I mean, it's an interesting story. I mean, I have no doubt that Ivanka has a bright future ahead of her. And, you know, but it's a very interesting meme that's playing out right now.
It is indeed. Heather Wilhelm is always honest and always interesting. She's a weekly columnist for RealClearPolitics.com, senior contributor at The Federalist. Follow her at Heather Wilhelm on Twitter. Heather, thank you for joining. Have a fantastic weekend.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. More common team, stay with me.
Buck Sexton, The Blaze Radio Network.
What's up, Team Buck? Have you ever tried a Casper mattress? They are incredible. Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at an incredibly fair price. It combines springy latex and supportive memory foams to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and the perfect amount of bounce. Time magazine named it as one of the best inventions of 2015. You get free shipping and returns to the U.S. and Canada, and you can try it free for 100 nights risk-free in your own home. And if you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. It's made right here in America. All you have to do is go to casper.com/buck. That's www.casper.com/buck. You can get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/buck. Terms and conditions apply. This is an incredible mattress at a fantastic price. You can get it now via this deal. Check it out.